The Habitat for Humanity Women Build Blitz is on. It's Blitz Day today. CGOB executive producer Lauren McNabb is there doing her best to build, and she has a guest. Lauren, and I'll let you do your thing here, introduce us to your guest, chat with your guest, and then I've got a question for you when you're done, okay?
Oh, good. I have a question for you too, Hal, if time. So we'll get to that in a few minutes. But, you know, you were just talking about the weather. I mean, really, this is the nicest day of the week for people taking part in the Women Build for Habitat for Humanity. The sun, of course, is shining. We've got sunscreen that needs to be put on. We have 26 women and a few men taking part today. And this is a massive, you talked about it being a blitz. It really is. This is a 55 home project in Transcona that actually started last year. So there's 11 rows of fiveplexes. They're all going to be done by the end of 2026, but the first move-in date is July of this year because they've been going so hard over the past year. And joining me now is Jamie Hall, who's CEO with Habitat for Humanity. And it's always such a joy, Jamie, to see the women down here building together for other women. But we were just talking, I heard Hal talking earlier about affordability and grad season and kids getting out there and starting their lives in the real world, so to speak, and the stress that there might be out there because of affordability right now. Habitat gets thousands of applications every year. Are you seeing a rise in the number of people looking for other ways into housing?
Yes, well, and it's true. There is no shortage of people looking for affordable housing or in need of affordable housing. And in fact, we don't even count the number of applications we have because the supply is so great. And it really comes down to that question of affordability. Habitat Canada did a survey last year that 49% of Canadians spend over half of their take-home pay on housing needs. And so the need is increasing.
It feels like it's so daunting for so many people out there, and you get all sorts of applications. We talked about the numbers, but the process, you know, you can put your name in to try to get a Habitat home, but it's not easy to get one because A, of the demand, but you have criteria too. Just walk me a bit through who qualifies to potentially get a home with Habitat.
Sure. So we serve low-income families. So first of all, low income, you have to have income. And so the wonderful thing about the Habitat model is we sell the homes to our families, but they have to have income. And it's not a free house that they get. They earn their house through putting in labor hours as well as a mortgage afterwards. And that mortgage is scaled to their income. And so they'll be paying 27% of their take-home pay, essentially for their mortgage payments. And the second piece is low-income families is a family. And so our definition of a family is there has to be one child in the group in one way or another. And sometimes we've got very large families. Sometimes we have, a single mom with one child. But that's really our criteria is low-income and family.
Yeah, you have people who will apply, but doesn't mean they get the home. But they have to take seriously, right? It's about you taking it seriously and them taking it seriously, the quest for home ownership. They have to have a part-time job or two part-time jobs or a full-time job. They have to be working and showing that they can maintain this house into the future. But then they get to be part of the build. They don't have to put the down payment down, but the down payment is those 500 hours of sweat equity. And we, every year, we see the homeowners come out and work their butts off. Excuse the language really here, Jamie, to get into their own home. What's that like for you just seeing the builds happen, and particularly the women build? I think there's something so special about women who we know in this industry still are underrepresented and coming out and doing something that maybe many of us haven't done before.
It is wonderful to see it. And first of all, you're right. We're in partnership with our families, and that we use that word both ways. We have a responsibility, but each family has a responsibility. And we do have a homeowner out here working. And it really is, I mean, the volunteer experience and having 26 women out here today is wonderful, but it's meaningful for that homeowner as well, because through their labor hours that they put in, first of all, they're embraced by a community, but they also realize their responsibility to that community. There's 26 women that are helping me build my house here today, that I have a responsibility to make this work, first of all, for me and my family, but also for the larger community. And so I'm just thrilled when I come out and see volunteers working. And the Women Build Blitz is really special. The group of women that organize this each year, they're just so important to the work that we do at Habitat. It's wonderful on this day that we're celebrating that.
We're going to work to bring one of the volunteers back on later in the show and also try to bring the homeowner on when we speak to Jim Hall. That was just Jamie Hall with Habitat for Humanity, just outlining a bit of what goes into these builds. But it really is a special day. And my question first for you, Hal, is, are you handy? I think you must be.
You know, I here's the deal. When I was a young guy, My dad was real handy, and his line was, "Hal, you better be handy or handsome." And unfortunately, I am neither. Now, after many years of flipping houses and rentals and all that kind of stuff, I now know what it takes. I understand, mm-hmm. but I don't really do it myself, right? And that is a real talent. So no, and to this day, here we are, 2024. I am still not handy and still not handsome. But I wish I had paid more attention to my dad back in the day when he was trying to teach me. Here's my question for you. We're mm-hmm. going to talk with Big Daddy Taz after 11:30. Pete Davidson, comedian, got basically walked off the stage after being heckled. And so we had a bit of a discussion in our morning meeting this morning. You weren't part of it because you were at the build. But we were talking about, and you've done a lot of emceeing, as I have. And we talked about how it's getting harder to control a crowd these mm-hmm. days. Do you have any tricks as to how you control a crowd? If there's, you know, some murmuring over in the corner, all of a sudden it gets louder, you've lost part of the room. What do you do as an MC?
You know, you're making a great point. We have talked about this in the past, and then there's something post-COVID that has people just maybe not behaving properly, if that's the way to do it, or they've lost that sense of how to be in a room. I'll make a joke, right? Like, I'll say things like, I don't want to have to, you know, flash the lights at you like a school teacher, or I don't want to have to put up my hand until there's silence, or if something's so funny over there, you're going to have to come up here on the mic and tell me what you're all laughing about over there. But I have had, in events in the past couple years, one guy was flat out watching the Jets game on his iPad. And I was just like, hey, you, first of all, what's the score? B, put the iPad away, man. Like, it's hard to be up here on the mic. And I think that's part of it, you know, like, A, there's people who just maybe don't recognize the challenges that come with controlling a room of 100 or 1,000 people, as I've done in some events.
Yeah.
And then I think people also have lost just a little bit of what is proper. That's my two cents.
Yep. No, I agree. I agree completely. If you want, 11:45, just before Jets at noon, if you want to jump on again from the build, I'll make time for you, okay?
Perfect. Thanks, Hal. Appreciate it.
All right. Lauren McNabb, CGOB executive producer at the Habitat for Humanity Women Build Blitz Day.